Shalom, saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the Accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a Messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. I'm ecstatic to announce our Laborers Grant available to all HRU students. Our new Laborers Grant enables us to eliminate the $50 application fee and cover 50% of tuition costs across all degree programs, removing additional financial barriers and making our tuition even more affordable to all students. There are no prerequisites or pre-qualifications required. Simply apply, and the grant would be automatically applied to your account. All students that apply today will be given a Laborers Grant, which will cover 50% off all tuition costs and will be automatically awarded for each term the student is enrolled. You can apply now. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Have Questions section at the bottom of our website. The implementation of our new Laborers Grant will provide access to as many people as possible from all nations worldwide who are desirous of higher education in ministry and becoming laborers in the end-time harvest of the kingdom. Here at Hebrew Roots University, we are dedicated to our mission to teach the true gospel of the kingdom, the gospel Yeshua taught, to people of all nations and to eradicate biblical illiteracy worldwide. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Don't wait. Take advantage of our new Laborers Grant. So apply now. HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Thank you. Shalom. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a Messianic Hebrew Roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging, deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, shalom, saints, and welcome to our Thursday's Searching the Scriptures. Certainly excited tonight as we're dealing with the topic that I'm not so excited about, but at the same time, it's an important topic, and I certainly hope to encourage people as we go through this chapter of Deuteronomy that contain the curses. I certainly appreciate and like teaching on the blessings, and did several teachings on the blessings of Jehovah. We did this four-part teaching on the 28 blessings of Deuteronomy 28, and purposely avoided the curses of Deuteronomy 28 because I don't believe that any of Jehovah's people should experience this. Nevertheless, over the history
of Israel, we see that they certainly experienced it. And so I'm hoping that this particular teaching will discourage people from going contrary to Jehovah's commandments and actually encouraging people to respond properly to the instructions, the commandments that Jehovah has given his people. And so tonight we're going to be going through Deuteronomy 28. This is part one. We're going to get as far as we possibly can in this particular chapter tonight. And in that, as we go through Deuteronomy 28, we're going to be talking about the curses of disobeying the law. The curses of disobeying the law. As we look at this particular passage, at the end of the teaching, I want you to be prepared to give. If you have questions, write them down and we will deal with those, and be prepared to present your prayer requests if you have some. Our mission statement, restoring the Hebrew roots to the Christian and Jewish faiths. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father in heaven, we're so grateful here tonight to be in your presence and in the company of one another. We pray your presence manifest in the midst of us. Pray that you heal, deliver, open our eyes, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, give us the capacity to comprehend the things that you show us, the things that you speak to us, and then show us how to incorporate them in our daily lives. Be glorified in us. Be glorified in your people in Yeshua's name. Excuse me. So tonight we're dealing with the curses of disobeying the law. Last week we started in Deuteronomy 28 and we covered the blessings of obeying the law. And this week we continue with the curses of disobeying the law. As I stated earlier, this is going to be a two-part message. We're going to deal with part one tonight. We're going to go as far as we can in Deuteronomy 28 from verse 15 onward. Without order, Israel would be a lawless nation, no different than the nations that surrounded them. Unfortunately, when it comes down to the laws that nations govern themselves by, most nations, including Israel, is governing themselves by man-made rules and regulations and have kind of cast aside the law of Jehovah. Jehovah established these laws to maintain order. And Jehovah in his covenant with Israel established incentives for obeying his law. And these are the blessings that we dealt with last week. And to discourage the children of Israel and the nations that joined themselves to Israel from disobeying the law, Jehovah made it clear in his word what they could expect by not obeying his law. And so there's the blessings for obedience. There's the curses for disobedience. And as we go through this, there is a refrain that I will continue to mention in this particular verse or in this teaching. And I can tell you now why I decided to add the refrain that the only cure for the curses of disobeying the law of Jehovah is repentance and then obeying his law. Because as we're going through this passage, there are people who are going to look at their current situation, their circumstances, and ask themselves whether or not these things are happening in their lives because. And if you are a person who has lived contrary to Jehovah's commands, you've repented of that lifestyle, you have turned your heart toward Jehovah, then these curses would not be yours. However, there are times when we have sown seed that the harvest comes up and then it's gone. And so there is a consistent, you have to be, if you've consistently violated the commandments, then you've consistently sown seeds that will bring forth a bad harvest. But from the moment you repent and you begin to sow seed that will bring forth a good harvest, then it's just a matter of time before the harvests that have already been planted come up and go. And so remember, if you have repented from your lifestyle of disobedience, then you have something to look forward to. The choices were clearly spelled out, spoken into Israel's hearing and written in stone so that everyone knew what to expect from the choices they made. Blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And if you remember when we went through chapter 27, when they enter into the land, they had to write these laws on stones. And all of Israel would hear it in chapter 26, in chapter 27. They had to stand on Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal. They would pronounce the curses. And then we went into Deuteronomy 28 and dealt with the blessings. And so the whole purpose of understanding the incentives and those things that would discourage is understanding and knowing the law. If you know the law, then it's important that you obey the law. Jehovah's intent from the very beginning in his covenant relationship with his people was to bless them. And this started in the garden. If you remember in Genesis 1 and in verse 26, which is not here because we're not dealing with the creatures in the water. But the first thing Jehovah blessed is he blessed those individuals, the creatures in the water. And then it came to where he said in verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. So we see that in the very beginning, what did he do? He blessed them. And from this point forward, it's as if the Creator wanted mankind to be blessed. The only thing that could thwart or cause the blessings that Jehovah intended for man to come upon man is man's disobedience. And we saw that in the garden when Father told them not to eat of the tree, they ate of the tree. And as a result, they got an eviction notice and got evicted out of the garden. He said in Exodus 20:24, in all places, and this is after he's brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And he wanted them to know that in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. And so in that, he said that wherever his name is, and that's him indicating this is where he wanted his people to be. This is what he did when he established the tabernacle. And then later when he established the temple, this was the place that the children of Israel were to come up to. And see, for us here at House of Israel, You know, we believe that Jehovah has put his name on us, and therefore everything that we think of that we can put his name on, we do. Some people are a little bothered because I display his name every time we have a service. His name is displayed. When people go over to the microphone to speak into that microphone, we have his name displayed. And even when the AV team is reading the questions and the comments, as well as the prayers, we have his name displayed. I wear clothing, and for instance, the shirt that I have on right now has his name displayed. On my micro deletes, his name is displayed. And so anywhere I can put his name, on the doors, his name is displayed. If you come into this building, in any door, you'll see his name. At my home, any door you come into my home, you'll see his name displayed. When I go to my garage, his name is displayed. And so wherever I could put his name, anything that pertains to me, I put his name, because with his name come his blessings. He said, wherever I record my name, I will come unto thee and I will bless thee. And so I record his name in certain places because I want his blessings to be on my home. I want his blessings to be on me. I want his blessings to be on this property. I want his blessings to be on everything pertaining to us. And then Jehovah people were reminded of his intent every time they heard this blessing pronounced over them. Numbers 6:23, when we went through. Now, some people call this the Aaronic blessing. Some call it the Aaronic benediction. I know that I was in church, and at the end of the service, they would do the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. They would say these things, and they took this from the law to pronounce on New Testament people who reject the law. Interesting. Numbers 6:23. Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them. Now understand something. Notice what he says. You shall bless the children of Israel. So this is a blessing for who? For the children of Israel. This blessing is not for any nation or any people. This blessing is for the children of Israel. On this wise, you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, Jehovah bless you and keep thee. Jehovah make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And he said, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So it's not the priest that's blessing the people. It's not the ministers, in a sense, that's blessing the people. It's Jehovah coming amongst them and blessing them. Their job was to pronounce his name over the people. And this is why I went from the Lord to Jehovah. Jehovah bless you, not the Lord bless you. Jehovah bless you, because his name is not the Lord. So when I say Jehovah bless you, I'm putting the name of Jehovah on you, and then he comes along and bless you. The blessings in the previous portion of this chapter is a guarantee to those who diligently hearken to obey all the commandments of Jehovah. As assuredly as the blessings were a guarantee, so were the curses for those who did not hearken to obey. And this is a good place to remind oneself that when Jehovah's word goes out of his mouth, he watches over it. He watches over his word to perform it. If his blessings are being bestowed upon those who are obedient, then he's watching over his word, and those who are obedient to his word are experiencing the blessings that come from his word. Likewise, the curses. He watch over his word. If curses are your portion, he watches over that word to make sure that every curse that you have signed up for through disobeying his commandments, they're going to come upon you. The timeline of their manifestation were not indicated, but they would surely come to pass. So, as assuredly as the blessings were a guarantee, so were the curses for those who did not hearken to obey. Verse 15. But it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It may not happen today. It may not happen tomorrow. But it will come to pass. If thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Now, the beauty of all of this is that you have the ability to decide which portion of Deuteronomy 28 is your portion. That's your ability to decide. Like the blessings, the curses don't come immediately. And therefore, people may not make the connection. Oftentimes, people compare their current situations with current actions and may not recognize their current circumstances or consequences may be related to previous actions or deeds. Sometimes, well, just like a seed that is sown, you don't plant a seed and get a harvest. That seed goes into ground, it abides, it dies, it comes up, and then it starts to produce or bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold. So just as a seed is sown, just as an act of disobedience is done, doesn't necessarily mean that the response is immediate. And here it is. The only cure for the curses of disobedience is repentance and then obedience. See, it's one thing to repent. It's another thing to turn toward the right thing instead of turning toward something else. If you're going in the wrong direction, you could stop and change direction. Now the question is, what direction are you going to go in? Are you going to go in a different direction or are you going to go in the right direction? And so this is what is required when one changes mind about the direction they're going in, making sure they're not just going into any direction, but they're going in the right direction. And Jehovah has already laid the blueprint out in the blessings and the curses and in his commandments. This is how you're supposed to live. People wonder why Jehovah's chosen people experience so much hardship, persecution, and hate from the nations of the world, but fail to make the connections to these passages. And it's important because as I listen to people, as I look at circumstances and situations nationwide and worldwide, it's easy to feel sympathetic or empathetic or sad or sorry for something people are going through, because you see the hardship that they may be experiencing. But the question is what they are experiencing a result of their past behavior? And sometimes, or most of the time, when you see a person going through something, you have no idea of why. What is it that they did or they didn't do that caused this curse to come upon them or this circumstance to come upon them? And that is a difficult one sometimes to identify. Each individual Israelite and Israel as a nation decided which side of Jehovah they wanted to be on by the lifestyle choices they made. The blessing side of Jehovah or the cursing side of Jehovah. And during that entire 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, as Israel is preparing in this chapter to go over and take possession of the land, that even though people fell dead in the wilderness, even though the earth opened up and swallowed people, even though there were suffering in the wilderness, everybody didn't suffer the same suffering. Everybody didn't die. Some people lived, some people died. The ones who lived were not the ones who Father had determined would die as a result of their disobedience, but their death and how they died should have been an example for those who witnessed what occurred to them. A lot of what Jehovah did during the time of the wilderness experience was to show himself to the people who saw what he did. And so he wanted his people to remember what I did to Pharaoh. Remember what I did to Egypt. Remember how I delivered you. Remember how I came and took you out with an outstretched arm. You see my power. You see my might. You see what I'm capable of. So it's in your best interest to follow me, to listen, to hearken to what I say, to obey, so that all these blessings will come upon you. Because as surely as I have commanded the blessings to come, the curses will come if you don't diligently hearken to obey these commands. Curses, vilification, execration. These are the words that are used as a result of this word curses. Now, there's a couple of words, and as we're going to see, the cursings and the curses. People today make the same choices. However, many have allowed their spiritual leaders, denominational leaders, etc., make the choices for them by teaching we're not under the law of Jehovah, while teaching we should be seeking the kingdom of God. Now, see, this doesn't make sense, but if a lot of the things that we do as a people don't really make sense, and we can justify our behavior. A person can justify being a Democrat. A person can justify being a Republican. A person can justify being a lesbian or a homosexual. A person can justify being a fornicator or an adulterer. People can justify what their behavior, and to them, their justification makes sense. However, when it comes down to what Jehovah requires of us, he's the one who's going to hold us accountable. And therefore, there is no justification. He lays it out in his word, and this is what you can expect. But when people go into these places that we call churches and they're listening to learned individuals preach from the word of God and tell us we don't have to do what this portion of the book says, we only have to live according to this portion of the book, then they do the people of Jehovah a disservice. And unfortunately, people put more faith and trust in their minister, in their preacher, in their denomination than what they see clearly in front of them. And this is where we all have to come to a place to where we either believe the church that is saying something contrary to the word of God, as if what they're saying is true, or we believe what the word of Elohim says. These individuals that are teaching these things, they're saying, listen, you don't have to obey God, but you just seek his kingdom. Okay? They're confused. They're blind leaders. They're leading confused, blind followers, and we know their destination if they stay on that path. Just as Yeshua said to the religious order in his day, they're blind sheep and they're leading people astray. They're leading, it's the blind leading the blind, and their destination is a ditch somewhere. As I read the curses found in this chapter, I can't help but think of current world events. And during my 66 years of life here on earth, especially the portion of life to where I became aware of what was going on around me, there are many things that we see growing up that we don't necessarily comprehend or understand, but we see it and it becomes a memory for us. And as we get older, we see things happening, certain things we can't understand. How can people hate other people, and the reasons why people hate people, and racism, and laws that seem to favor some people but is disfavorable to other people, people with guns being more confrontative of people that are of a particular hue. I mean, just a lot of things that we see that we can't understand. And then if you're brought up in a black family like I was, and you're given instructions on how you are to deal with people, especially people that are of a light persuasion versus me being of a dark persuasion, there's a lot of why mama, why daddy, why? And it's frustrating sometimes to parents, and even hurtful to parents, to have to explain these things to their children because of the condition that the world is in. And so when I read this and I look at the commandments of God help me to understand the conditions of the world. When I look at these curses and I'm understanding what these curses mean, I can begin to apply them into certain situations that are around me, and even certain situations as it pertains to myself. As a nation that claim to be blessed by God, there are so many narratives that cause me to question America as a nation that fears Jehovah. I remember being in church as a young person, and people would say we're a godly nation, we're a Judeo-Christian nation. We have Judeo and Christian values, indicating that we are people of the book and we love God and we try to obey God and all of these things. And it's because of that God has blessed this nation, because this is a Christian nation. This is a godly nation. But you see all of the ungodliness, and you make you wonder every year during the Super Bowl, especially in the last 10, 15 years, there are national anthems. And in the last few years, there's been two national anthems. And this year, no different than last year. National anthems that are sung, the Star Spangled Banner and Oh Say Can You See, those anthems. And you know what's interesting is that neither one of those anthems acknowledge or recognize the Most High. And people are going berserk over whether or not a person kneel and decide they're not going to put their hand over their heart, or if they're going to stand up at all. And it's like, you know, it's hard. It's more about the religion of patriotism than the religion of the kingdom, true religion and faith toward Jehovah. The military today is rife with the LGBTQ+. You know, as this new administration has come into the White House and began to address certain things, I haven't been in the military in a long time, but I'm seeing things that are being uncovered, unfolded. All these transgender people that are, you know, in officer's garb, leading people. It's like, it's hard for me to think that a person who decides to change their gender can make rational decisions. I mean, if my life is dependent on somebody who don't even know what their gender is, that becomes problematic. And then to lead people and to believe that they are good leaders, even though they were born one way and have concluded that they identify as something else. Our government, and I'm just coming straight down the middle here. Our government is the largest employer pushing anti-Messiah narratives. Because I was looking at these individuals that are wanting to sue the government for not recognizing their gender that they identify with. And here's how I see it. It's like, I'm confused. I'm going to do this because I'm confused, and I want the government to enter into that confusion and validate it and then make laws to protect me. Something's wrong with that. In the kingdom of Jehovah, and remember, we live in two kingdoms, Jehovah is going to judge that. We should judge it by what we see and call it out. And then we are to live our lives in a way that we're going to face judgment. COVID was a wake-up call, but people went back to sleep. A woke culture was established that no one can really truly define. What does it mean to be woke? Obesity, sickness, cost of living, housing, employment, hatred, divisiveness, etc. All these things, not only do they plague our nation, but they also plague the nations of the world. This, my brothers and sisters, this is concerning. It's quite concerning. For me, I know what my response is. I can't endorse it. I can't support it. I can't embrace it. All I can do is speak out against it. And because you're speaking out against circumstances that people find themselves embracing, it looks like you're speaking out against people. And then those people will turn on you. Now, there's a proverb that says, if you rebuke a fool, what will they do? They'll turn on you. The fact that people are turning on you because you're speaking truth shows you whether they are wise or foolish. Israel has been under siege. Much of what is mentioned in these verses are relevant to the now. And I'm thinking, you know, for the people who consider themselves to be the chosen people, the hatred toward all of Jehovah's people is clearly seen, whether you claim to be a Jew, whether you claim to be a Gentile or a Hebrew. If you are a Jew or a Gentile or a Hebrew living according to Jehovah's instructions, it seems as if the world has a hate for you. Now, what's really sad, and I can't explain it, but I know that when I look at the history, Jehovah did some things to Israel. He desired to bless them, but their behavior caused him to turn on them. And one of the things he did is he cast them out of the land and sent them into captivity. These are real things. These are real things. Now, some people are going to say this is an anti-Semitic, but you can take it how you want to. Either Jehovah is going to protect you, or Jehovah is going to allow the enemy to destroy you. And sometimes it's Jehovah sending that enemy. This is what this Deuteronomy 28 curse part is focused on. The only cure for the curses of disobedience is repentance and obedience. Verse 16, cursed shall thou be in the city, and cursed shall thou be in the field. Now, verse 16 is the opposite of verse 3, because in verse 3 it says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. But the difference between the curses and the blessings is whether you diligently hearken to obey. If you diligently hearken to obey, you get verse 3. If you don't, you get verse 16. The curse here is a rod, to curse. That simply is to be cursed. And to be cursed, question is, who's cursing you? It's not the nation cursing you. It's not the people cursing you. It's not some witch cursing you, although people in witchcraft do that. But if a curse is effective against you, it's generally because it's the curse that Jehovah has pronounced. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Verse 17 is the opposite of verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your store, according to verse 5. So you're either going to have a blessed basket in store, or you're going to have a cursed basket in store. It's all dependent on you. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Verse 18, it's the opposite of verse 4. Instead of blessings, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kind and the flocks and the sheep. You get the opposite. Deuteronomy 28:19. Cursed shall thou be when y'all come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The opposite of verse 6, instead of being blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out, you get the curses. It all depends on the choice you make, whether you're going to obey the law or you're going to curse the law. And you could say all day long, I'm not under that. Well, whether you confess to be under it or not, who's in charge? You or Jehovah? Verse 20, Jehovah shall send upon thee. Now, who's sending these things? It's Jehovah's doing. Jehovah shall send on thee cursings, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed. So are you saying that Jehovah will turn on his chosen people? I'm not saying it. He's saying it. These are the people that he desired to bless. All they have to do is obey the covenant, obey the commandments. When they break covenant and disobey the commandments, then he already laid it out. You're either going to experience these blessings. So when you experience the blessings, you know why you're being blessed. If you experience the curses, you know why you're being cursed. So if you want to create religion, create Judaism, create Christianity, create Islam, create Christianity, create all of these various religions that is in opposition to the creator of the universe, then you can expect opposition from the creator. He shall send these things upon you until you be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly. Why? Because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Jehovah is saying, listen, why are you turning on me? All I want to do is you good. That's why I gave you these laws. I'm actually trying to save you. I'm actually trying to protect you. I'm actually trying to bless you by giving you these commands. These commands are not burdensome. Now, you can have somebody say, well, y'all want to keep all them burdensome commandments. Well, they're not burdensome. Why? Because the creator of the universe, the one who created man, said, this is how I wanted my creation to operate. This is the manual by which you conduct yourself in the creator's creation. Now, the interesting thing is that the animal kingdom don't have a problem with this. The fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, they don't have a problem with the order in which things were done. They operate and focus in the order, everything after its kind, doing what it's supposed to do, what it was created to do, and nobody have to tell or teach the fish how to swim. Nobody have to teach the bird how to fly. It's a natural instinct that is in them, and this is where Father, who's giving man, the most intelligent of creation, the instructions on how to live in the creation in which he created. So, when a person goes opposite of what the creator is instructing, then this is, viewed in his eyes as wickedness and being forsaken. And this is a tough place to be. I mean, I imagine if you don't have someone that you love dearly. You know, I know for children, it's usually parents in many cases. Sometimes they have difficult parents and that becomes a problem. But with parents, it's typically children, especially parents who desire their children to have a good life and who is trying to provide for them that. And some things one will not understand from the perspective of a father until you've been a father. And I'm not talking about a father of one. I'm talking about a father of many. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, see, I think it's easier to be the father of one child than it is to be the father of two children. because you don't have that Cain and Abel experience. You don't have that opposition amongst sibling experience. You don't learn how to mediate and how to, you know, protect and preserve and instruct and correct. Now, you get that with one child, but when you have two children, you begin to see the dynamic of human interaction on a level that you will never see with one child. And when you look at it from Jehovah's perspective, you got all these people and all of this interaction and people not knowing how to interact amongst themselves, tribes among tribes, nations among nations, and then Father is taking these nations and blending them together so that they learn how to get along as one people. That, brothers and sisters, that's a real challenge, teaching people how to get along, teaching a husband and wife how to get along. But with the instructions that he give us, if everybody listen and follow the instruction, then the people can become one and can move forward as one. This vexation, this is tumult, confusion, disquietude, it's used as destruction, trouble, vexation. He's going to vex you. He's going to bring trouble. He's going to bring destruction when you operate in disobedience. This is him sending this. This is his doing. Jehovah shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land, whether thou goest to possess it. In other words, he said, listen, this is my land. I'm letting you, the children of Israel, he displaced the Canaanites and brought the children of Israel and placed them in the land. And he said, this is my land. Now watch how you live in it. You watch how you conduct yourself in this land, because just as I brought you in, I can take you out. Pestilence, plague, murrain, cattle disease. These are the plagues. Jehovah is saying he will put these things on his people. Now, remember, Israel was taken into captivity by the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. And during this time, Jehovah said to Jeremiah, I want you to go during the Babylonian time, go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah goes down to the potter's house, Jeremiah 18:6, and he gets this word, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith Jehovah, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it? If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instance I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it? If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. And so what Jehovah is telling Jeremiah to tell the children of Israel is, listen, I said I was going to do good to you, but these were the conditions. Now, you didn't keep the conditions, so this is what you got coming. However, if you turn from what you are doing, turn from your evil, then I will turn from the evil that I plan to do with you, do against you because of your disobedience. And so basically, this is where I come up with the idea that the cure for the curses of disobedience is repentance. Jeremiah 18:11 says, now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith Jehovah, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return you now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. So he's warning the people, listen, get your act together. You need to turn from the things that you're doing, because if you do not repent from your violation of my commands, then you got a curse to look out for. In fact, you got curses. Again, the only cure for the curses of disobedience is repentance and obedience. And I have this in several places as we go through this, because I need us to be mindful, no matter if you're experiencing the curses of your actions or curses or what appears to be curses. Because, you know, you can go to church all you want to and have them talk about casting out demons. But what they need to cast out of you is disobedience. And that can't be cast out. Only you can repent from it. How you cast out disobedience? Well, one way you can attempt to cast out disobedience is, first of all, disobedience to what? If the curses are coming because of disobedience to the commandments, then the way you deal with the curse of disobedience to the commandments is you learn the commandments and obey them. It's that simple. After returning to the land and rebuilding the temple, Israel corrupted themselves again, and Jehovah spoke to the people through the prophet Malachi these words. He says in Malachi 2:1, "And now, O you priests, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear and if you will not lay it to heart to give glory unto my name, saith Jehovah of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. As you're standing there to bless the people, I will curse your blessings. Yea, I've cursed them already, because you do not lay it to heart." And so we see Jehovah speaking to those who are he's given instructions to bless the people and letting him know that their blessing will not be a blessing. He's going to curse the blessing, and then he's going to deal with them, and their job is to call the people to repentance. But before they can call the people to repentance, they got to repent themselves. And this goes back to what Yeshua is saying. How are you going to tell somebody else to take the mote out of their eye, and you got big beams in your own eyes? Verse 22, Jehovah shall smite thee with the consumption and with the fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Who's going to smite them? Jehovah. These curses all seem to be due to the weather or the elements. The consumption is a wasting disease. It's like a lung disease or disease of the lungs. And then he goes into this fever, which seems to be a burning ague, which the notes on these definitions seem to be either where there is a drought or there is some kind of punishment, which is a drought. Inflammation, used only here, doesn't give us a definition for it. In fact, this word is used twice, once in Leviticus and once here, and one has to question whether or not it has to do with what people refer to as a diagnosis of inflammation. But there are other words that are used here that seems to be more connected to what people are referring to as some disease within the human body that cause there to be inflamed or swelling. Extreme burning, here's one of them. Extreme heat, inflammation, violent heat, a fever. This could be caused by the sun, but it also could be caused by something else. Blasting, this is to be blighted, and this associates with crops. You know, when there's a drought or a famine, or when there's a drought and there's no rain, and the sun is beaming, you know, there is blight, because you'll see crops that may have been green at one point now starts to turn brown, yellow, die, and wither. The ground gets hard, and then it starts cracking. No rain comes down, nothing comes up. Mildew, paleness, rust. Verse 23, and thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. This indicates that no rain will come down, and as a result, nothing will grow. Verse 24, Jehovah shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven it shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. So instead of rainstorms, there will be dust storms. You ever seen some of these movies in the desert, in the Arabian desert, in the African desert? It seems as if, you know, sometimes you see all this great storms of dust. Just, you have to cover yourself because that dust to get in every crack and crevice, and if you can't breathe it in. But he's saying, I'll make the rain of thy land powder and dust. In other words, instead of getting rain, you get dust. And he'll do this until you be destroyed. Jehovah shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, this is opposite of verse 7. In verse 7, it says, Jehovah shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And so instead of your enemies fleeing from you, you will flee from your enemies according to this verse. Because Jehovah is causing this to happen. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And then not only that, he says, you're going to be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, what this is saying is that not only are they going to come in and you can't defeat them, they're going to take you as spoil into their nations. You'll become a slave. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. And this is a gruesome scene to imagine. People will die and not be buried. Watching crows pluck people's eyes out, wolves eating people's flesh, the ravens and the buzzards and the predators that just comes along, and the flies, and just, I mean, there are human beings laying there exposed to the elements, becoming the food instead of being of some animal or creature, instead of being given a proper burial. Jehovah will smite thee with the botch of Egypt and with the emerods and with the scab and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. And these seem like diseases that there is no cure for. The people will be plagued with conditions that there will be no cure. They will not be able to be healed. There'll be no medication that can resolve their issues. He says, you will not be healed. The botch, inflamed. There's that word inflamed again. Inflamed spot, inflammation, eruption, associated with leprosy of man and beast, emerods, tumors, hemorrhoids, garrup, itch, scab, scurvy. And here, this itch is look like it's an eruptive disease. It could be the sun. And then verse 28. Now, the interesting thing, again, as I point out over and over again, is Jehovah doing this. Jehovah shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And it breaks my heart to think that Jehovah has intent for good for people. It's in his heart to be a blessing to people. And now, because of the people's actions, he's got to turn his heart from blessing people to having to confront, curse, with the hope that a person will repent and turn from their wicked ways. This is what he was saying, you know, to Solomon. And people are so, you know, they like praying this prayer, if my people who are called by my name shall turn from their wicked ways, if my people who are called by my name shall turn. You see, the people who are called by the name of Jehovah should not be operating in wickedness to begin with. And because they have turned away from Jehovah to wickedness, to turn from their wickedness would be to turn back to Jehovah. So he's smiting them with blindness, madness, and astonishment of heart. And when you begin to look at this, the madness, blindness, this astonishment of heart, bewilderment, it's like, how can these things be happening? Being overwhelmed by all of the negative that is associated or that is happening in your midst. And as a person of faith that is seeing all of this happen, I could see how, you know, the word would come that 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but no harm will come near you. Can you imagine being in a situation where people, 1,000 is falling, 10,000 is falling, and not thinking that just as you're seeing destruction all around you, how are you going to be spared in the midst of all this destruction? This is where your faith is challenged. This is where you have to know. You have to trust and you have to believe and you have to stand on his truth. So though you see people falling all around you, don't be astonished or alarmed to the point to where you panic. You call on the name of Jehovah. And this is where also I believe that this peace that surpasses understanding can be made available to you in the midst of destruction happening all around you. I don't want to be in that place. I don't want to be in a situation where destruction is happening around me. But if I'm ever in that place where destruction is happening all around me, I want to have built my faith to such a degree to where I don't panic because of what's going on around me. That I don't do the wrong thing in response to what's going on around me. That I don't let fear grip me and then I operate in fear because of what's going on around me. And I know the things that grip my heart the most is when things are going on with people that I care about. It's hard not to be bothered when people you love suffers. They're going through something, and it's even more difficult when you know that what they're going through is because of their own doing. And you want to tell them, and they don't want to hear what you got to say. And it's like, what do you do? You gotta watch people you love, and that's not the easiest thing to do. But you want to jump in there and help. You want to try to save. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. And no man shall save you. No man shall save you. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and thou shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Now, remember when the children of Israel were about to go to battle? We looked at this in Deuteronomy 20. And in Deuteronomy 20, I'll start at verse 3. It starts in verse 1, but in verse 3 it says, "And you shall say, and shall say unto them, Hear, O Israel, you approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. For Jehovah your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. And the officers shall speak unto the people, saying, What man is there that has built the new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man dedicate it. And what man is there, verse 6, is he that hath planted a vineyard and has not yet eaten of it? Let him also go and return into his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man eat of it. And what man is there that hath betrothed a wife and has not taken her? Let him go and return unto his house, lest he die in the battle, and another man taketh her. And now, here in Deuteronomy 28, it's like all these things are going to happen, but this is not the plan of the Almighty, because he's saying, listen, if you have a house, you ain't dedicated it, and here you are now in battle fatigue, then you are released to go home. See, Jehovah wanted his blessings on his people. But the curses would be that, hey, he's about to go to battle. He's got a house. He ain't dedicated it. Now he die in battle and somebody else gets his house and live in his house. But if it's dedicated, I suspect that it would go a different way. If he's got a woman, a wife, and he hasn't laid with her, I suspect things will go a different way, because it's the blessings for obeying the commandments and the curses for disobeying the commandments, and we don't want to take no risks. You don't want to risk that. Verse 31, the people in their possessions would become the spoil of others. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. A couple of more verses. The children would be taken and given to another people, and nothing could be done to stop it. Verse 32. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. In other words, you'll watch it happening in front of you, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. You're unable to save them. You're unable to deliver them. You're unable to stop what is about to happen. And then he's saying, listen, you're going to go out and plant. Verse 33, the fruit of your land and all your labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up. And thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. And so you'll go out and do the work, and somebody else will come along and eat your stuff. So that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Jehovah shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs, and with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot unto the top of your head. There is no part of your body that will escape Jehovah's wrath in dealing with disobedience. This botch, there's that inflammation again. Shekin. The only cure for the curses of disobedience is repentance and obedience is the only cure. Verse 36, Jehovah shall bring thee and thy king which thou set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. You want to serve idols? Well, we'll put you in a land where there's idols you can serve. This is what Jehovah is saying. He's going to bring you over. And then the one you've set over you. So whoever you've put over you, whether it be your rabbi, whether it be your pope, whether it be your priest, your father, your apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, your teacher, your bishop, your elder, your deacon, whoever you have set over you. You and them, Jehovah will deal with. The people and the king they set over them will be taken into captivity, where they will serve gods of wood and stone. And notice this, verse 37. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations whither Jehovah shall lead thee. Now, if you've ever gone to Israel, and you can see it, just going to the Western Wall, where there used to be a temple, and see what's left of it. And what's interesting is that the wall that the people are standing and offering their prayers and davening, that above them and on that property is idolatry. There's mosque, there's Islam. And it's like this used to be the holiest site where people would come and worship, bring their gifts, bring their sacrifices, eat in the presence of Jehovah, and all that is there now is mourning and grieving and longing for the restoration of what once was. This is Jehovah doing. And he says, and you shall become an astonishment, a proverb and a byword among all nations, whether Jehovah shall lead you. In other words, he's the one who's going to take them into captivity. Astonishment, waste, horror, appallment, desolation. Proverb, a parable, a byword. In this byword, they're going to be taunting them. They're going to say sharp words toward them. I mean, we see this stuff happening today. We see it happening. You see, Israel and the nations are in stark disobedience to the commandments of Jehovah. Every nation will have to stand before Jehovah. And then finally, remember, the only cure for the curses of disobedience is repentance and obedience. Father in heaven, if any of these things that we have listed resonate with any of your people, cause them to see it, to acknowledge it, to assess and to recognize that if this is their portion, there's certainly a solution to their cursed situation. Repentance. Repentance from dead works and faith toward you. Now, I know that the audience that I'm speaking to, many of them don't fit in this category. However, if any does, let them know that their circumstance, their situation is not permanent, but it requires a response from them, a proper response, and that proper response is repentance. Turning from that work that they're engaged in and turning toward you in faith. Those who have been convinced that they're not responsible for obeying your commandments, make them to see the contrary. Cause them to see that they've been lied to, they've been said, they've been misled. Let them not fall into the same destruction of those who misled them or led them down that path of thinking, and cause them to come from underneath that spirit, that bondage. We know that your commandments are not burdensome. They're not bondage. They're liberating. They're freedom. That you didn't give your commandments to a people in bondage, but a people that you set free, and that you gave them your instructions so that they will remain free and never go back into bondage. Help your people to see the truth from the traditions and the lies that have been propagated all of these centuries to the church community. And in all of this, we pray that you be glorified, even as your people come out of darkness into light and begin to walk in that light, ignoring the words of those who don't know any better, saying dumb stuff according to how they've been taught by those people that they have set over them. You are the one that we have set over us. You are our Elohim. You are our God. You are Jehovah Almighty. And we bless you. We honor you. We submit and surrender to you and desire for you to have your way in our lives, not only today, but every day forward from this moment, in Yeshua's name. Thank you. Amen. All right. Well, with that said, we bring this portion of Deuteronomy 28 to a close. And we're stopping here in verse number 37. And then next week, Father willing, we will continue and get through the rest of Deuteronomy and the curses for disobeying the law. At this time, we're going to pray and give you an opportunity to give. Father, we just thank you for this time of giving. We pray your blessings upon those, Father, who desire to support the work that we do in this place. We ask that none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, cause the windows of heaven, the blessings of heaven, the treasures of heaven to manifest in the midst of your people so much more, so much so that there will not be room enough for them to contain all that you do. Cause your blessings to overwhelm them, to overtake them, and then show us how to be a blessing and to whom we are to be a blessing to. Thank you for this opportunity to give. Help us to not only glorify you in our giving, but to glorify you in our daily living. Amen. For those of you who would like to share your resources with us, those of you who would like to support us with your tithe and with your offerings, first fruits, all you got to do is go to our website, on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com. And while we're on this page, this is the live stream page or the watch page. Our chat icon is there. If you have questions, you can certainly submit them there. If you have prayer requests, you can submit them there. But for your donations, if you go to the donate button, click that donation link, it will bring you to this page and you'll see ways that you can give that are fee-free. There are five ways that you can give to our ministry to where 100% of your contribution comes to us. That's Zelle, Venmo, Bill Pay, Cash App, check or money order. You can also use PayPal donation through our PayPal us or PayPal me. You can do wire fund, call, text, however you choose to give. We certainly appreciate your giving. If you're in Canada, you can use the Canadian donation link. And there, if you give through that site, then your contribution will be tax deductible there in Canada. Amen. So at this particular point, we certainly appreciate your giving. We're going to open up. If there are questions or comments or prayer, we'll take them at this time.
We have one question from Bobby. Shalom, saints. I'm curious to know if those curses still hold true in cases where individuals are unaware of the law. Can ignorance of the law shield someone from the consequences, or do the repercussions remain unchanged regardless of one's knowledge?
I do believe, now there are certain people know. When it comes down to the people that have been given the law, and there are those who have been brought up in the law, but they've been brought up in religious traditions for the most part, and that's those who have been brought up in Judaism. But there are many people who have not been brought up in Judaism, but they've been brought up in their tradition, whether they be Hebrew Israelite. This has been going on for hundreds of years, and there are people who have been brought up in that, but then there are also the Hebrew Israelite traditions. And then there have been people who've been brought up in Seventh-day Adventism. They accept certain parts of the commandments. They reject the rest of the commandments. But here's the thing, brothers and sisters, and here's how, because, you know, there's two things. There's the lack of knowledge that causes destruction on the people, and then there's the rejection of knowledge according to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. So not having the knowledge, but most people that are in church is not going to, anybody who has a Bible that has the Old and New Testament has the information right in their hand. They have the information right in front of them. But some people have been taught to ignore the first part of the book and only focus on the second part of the book. And it's like, well, why is it in the book? Some people have gone even as far as to not even having the first part of the book, but only having a New Testament. And those people would not necessarily have this knowledge if that's what they've been brought up in. However, I know that the Holy Spirit is at work in the earth, speaking to people who may not even have the knowledge and causing them to ask questions based on what's happening in their head, what's happening in their heart, what's going on in their mind, things that is being dealt with them in their spirit that is causing them to be troubled. And these are the people that are out there saying, there's more to this. There's more to this. There's something more to this. There's something that we're missing. And so there's that desire, there's that hunger, there's that probing and that prompting that the Holy Spirit is stirring people up around the world. And I'm fortunate enough to have conversations with some of these people, but there are so many people out there that are being stirred up because they know that what they have and what they are doing is missing something. And I can tell you what they're missing. They're missing the whole truth. They have some truth, but they don't have the whole truth. And because of that, some people, when they hear the truth, because they think they have the truth, they reject the truth that they hear. And this is why we encourage people and we say the laborers are few, the harvest is plentiful. Because, see, the way Father is going to be able to judge individuals righteously is that they have been exposed to his truth. And it's our job to make sure that people hear this good news that say to you, yes, there is more. And let me tell you what that more is. Yes, Jehovah is calling his people back to him, calling them repent out of the world. Come out of these churches, come out of these synagogues, come out of these places of worship where they're giving you part truth, but not the whole truth. Is that it? Okay. There are a few more announcements that I should have read. I want you to, for those of you who may not be aware, that we have added, if you go to the read section of our website, and that drop down will take you to free ebooks, you'll see that we've added some more books, ebooks, to our a page. And I encourage you to take advantage of these because all of these are free. Now, we don't know when the internet's going to go down. We saw what happened to TikTok. We anticipate that all of this will always be available for those of you who have access. All of these books are free. We've added some new ones, and we're going to continue to add some new ones. So check back often, because we've got some new books that were just added this week. We're going to add a couple of more next week and the week after that, and we're going to continue to until we have them all there. We've got right now, there's about 60 books that we are looking to have published, and we are getting that done as expeditiously as possible. For those of you who are out there who would like to transcribe, would like to help us in our transcription process, because we want to get every book of the Bible in a book form to where it can be published, and we want to make them available on our website so that you can have access to. Now, we already have the book of Galatians. it's already there. We've got some others that are coming that we are getting finalized and ready to upload to our ebook platform. But we've got a lot of material that we're going to make available because we know that there are people out there who like to read and they want to have materials in their hands that they can search and they can study in the peace of their own environment without having to necessarily be on the internet. So we're making these available and we encourage you to take advantage of them. For those of you who desire a tax-deductible donation letter, all you got to do is go to our Contact Us page on our website. It's under the About section on the website. Just simply click Contact Us, and it'll bring you to this page, and you can request your deduction letter. The early feast is right around the corner. If you desire to do a workshop or a vendor in the marketplace, then all you have to do is contact us, call the office, 888-899-1479. And I do believe that somewhere on our website, yes, at the bottom of that page, contact us. And on every page, you'll see our website is right there. And so you can email us, you can visit us here at 3601 Rose Lake. You can mail us and mail through the mail, and we will get it. Tomorrow, our Sabbath premiere is When Your Faith is Tested, and that's tomorrow at 8 p.m. for our Sabbath premiere. We invite you to take advantage of that. Join us online, and then our live service on Sabbath morning at 11 a.m., How to Live as Believers. We're going to be looking at part two. We're going to continue and complete the second part of Ephesians chapter number 5. So, with that said, yes.
Bobby has a follow-up question. I'm still uncertain whether you generally address the question at hand until an individual confronts the truth. Is it possible that they remain shielded from the repercussions of their ignorance?
It's the reason why it's hard for me to, and it's not that I didn't answer it. It's only Jehovah can answer that question. I can't answer it. I know what I would think because of what the commandment says, but remember, the commandment was given to a people who heard it and they read it. And so people that don't have it, people that don't read it, I would want to think that, you know, and I can't say, will Jehovah judge a person because of their ignorance? They didn't know. I can say, yeah, but I can't prove that. I can say no, but I can't prove that. He knows the heart. He knows the people. And he's the only one who can make that call. So my responsibility is to tell everybody I come in contact with. That's why we broadcast. That's why we make available all this material. That's why we're doing everything we can to get the word out so that every nation, every creature, every person will hear the truth. Now, if a person hear the truth and reject the truth, then I can say that person will not be shielded by ignorance because they're not ignorant. They have been informed. And our job is to inform. If we don't inform, then we will be held accountable. So again, I can't say what Jehovah will do to a person. Only he can make that call. And whatever I think, you know, I can't say who's going to go up. I can't say who's going to go in the lake. He's going to be the one to make that call. Any other comment? Amen. All right. Well, With that said, we're going to put his name on you that he may come among you and bless you. So receive your blessing. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. With that said, he will come among you. Now, remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers, your support are greatly needed and greatly appreciated. Remember tomorrow, 8 p.m., our Sabbath premiere, 11 a.m. Join us live here at House of Israel, 3601 Rose Lake Drive here in Charlotte, or live online. We certainly look forward to seeing you, and we appreciate you, and we love you, and we thank you for your support. And until Shabbat, Shalom, Saints. Shalom, Saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.